All right. Well, I am really excited to be telling you about our latest and greatest project in the NC State Urban Hort program, which is our plant toolkit. So it's been 3 years in the making. We got a grant, spent the first year of the grant pulling together partners and thinking about deciding what it is we actually wanted to accomplish. The next year was working with the IT folks to develop the platform, if you will, and then this final year is on uploading all the data. So we started with surveying agents, pulling agents and master gardeners together and users of the site and looking at other databases and figuring out what we wanted. Had the incredible opportunity to work with a user experience consultant, which was, wow. I, as an extension professional, have been like, okay, here's the information I want people to get. Here's how I can package it, and they can use it. And she's like, well, what do they want? I'm like, what? What? So she helped us to step back and look from the user perspective, not only about the content of the website, but about how to organize that content and to put those decisions into the user's hands. So she helped us develop a number of exercises that we used to, you know, for example, you know, we were trying to set up, what do you put in what category? How do you organize this? We just gave people all the cards and said, categorize these. And I'll show you in a minute how that worked. But anyway, it was a profound opportunity to look at it in a whole different way, and I think it just made it a much richer, better tool. We have three big components to the site. One is to plant selection. So the number one problem I think people make in urban landscapes is the wrong plant in the wrong place. And so to guide people toward making that right choice is the primary purpose of this plant database. We also get a gazillion questions at the Master Gardener Help Desk and to agents of, what is this? And so we wanted to take the information in this plant database and help people answer that question as well. And the thing that came out of some of the focus groups was people didn't have a clue where to start. So they wanted pictures. They wanted pictures of landscape designs. They wanted pictures of photographs of landscape designs with plant lists that would then link into the database to help them get engaged. And so that part is coming next, that gallery. So one of the things we did is we added three times more data points for each plant. So each one of these things that you can't read is a click box that comes down with a whole list of different types of information you could include in that area. So this is one of the places that the user experience person was a big help. So we look at, you know, what do you want to attract to your landscape? So you can click off whatever it is that you want to come to your landscape. What are the problems that you want to avoid? So you can click off and say, I don't want anything that's going to cause these problems in my landscape. You can say, what's the function that you want this plant to serve in your landscape? And you can choose from all these different functions that plants might serve. What does your plant need to be able to withstand? What are the challenges? Do you have deer? Do you have voles? Do you have, you know, what are those things that it needs to be resilient to? So you can check those things off as you're selecting. And then we also have a whole series of specific locations. So are there any challenges that the plant needs to be resilient to based on location? So this is new to our plant database. We also are tremendously expanding the images. We're having larger, higher resolution images, more functional photos. We're having seasonal images that show plants throughout the year. We're showing botanical features, so a variety of features about the plant. And then we're also showing life cycle, so from seed to seedling to mature plant, so that you can recognize it in all those different ways. Has a lot more functionality. We have QR codes in our plant database now so that all of our demonstration gardens across the state and their signage in the demonstration garden, they can put a QR code on the plant sign so that people can click and get information about the plants. We also use these in our plant sales in some of our counties so that, again, it's really easy for them to copy the QR code and people who are coming to the plant sale can do it. We can tag the plants in the database with the plant sale so that the agent can say, you know, Wake County 2019, people can put Wake County 2019, it can come up with a list of the plants that are in that plant sale, and then they can use our tools on the plant database to narrow it down to decide what they want to buy. So it can be used in a whole lot of different ways. We have both the audio pronunciations as well as the...
Abelia by Grandiflora prostrata.
Isn't that cool? Oops, I was going to show you again. So we also have it spelled out phonetically because that helps me sometimes more than even just hearing it. We have video plant profiles. Victoria's working on this project with us doing videos. Then these are not a regurgitation of the facts about the plant that are already on the plant database. These are plant stories about why you might want to include this plant in your landscape or why you definitely don't want this plant in your landscape. And then we have a much enhanced search capacity on the plant. We've added a lot about edible plants in our plant database now. And just wanted to walk you through. This is the front page of the toolbox. So you have find a plant is a way to search. You can also search by identifying a plant, or you can just type in whatever you want on the search box. We have a section of featured plants, which you can change whenever we want. We can do that seasonally or if there's other reasons that we want to put featured plants up there. We have quick plant lists. So in North Carolina, we have the Certified Plant Professionals plant list. We have FireWise plant list. We have a coastal plant list. We have a lot of prepackaged lists of plants that are tooled that people can pop into Champion Trees and gather information. We have a list of all of our partners that we've worked with, both on campus and off. One of our challenges, NC State, you know, we still have a gazillion plant databases, but you had to know exactly what you're looking for, and you have to know which plant database it's in to find that information. So if you wanted to find out about a native plant, you had to go to the forestry department to their native plant database. If you wanted to find about plants for play, you had to go to the Natural Learning Initiative to their plant database on plants for children. If you wanted to find out about plants at the Arboretum, then there's a specific database for it. So it was very functional for each of the different people who are running those databases, but not for the public who's trying to find information. So the goal was to pull that together, pull all these partners together, not do away with, but give people an entryway into all of that information. All right, we also have a help thing so you can get some ideas about different ways that you can search, and a glossary to help with understanding what the terms are. So if you were to do a find a plant, these are the things that would come up. And you'd have an opportunity to look for cultural considerations. You could look for botanical things. You could look for functions. And for example, if you were to go to cultural conditions and click on light, then up come these options. And you could select which of those options. It tells you a definition of what that means. If you're looking at dappled sunlight, that means this. And it tells you how many plants in the database meet that criteria. So it works just like Amazon. Say you have this column on the left, and the more things that you click on the left, it narrows down the options on the right till you get to just what you want. This is an example of a complete plant profile. At the top part of it, there's images. If you click on an image, you get a bigger image. It has a description of the plant. It has the tags. I love this. We have this plant is often confused with. We have a retired professor from NC State who plot plant ID, and he kept track of every wrong answer that students gave on their exams. How brilliant is that? So this, I can tell you, is a research-based information on wrong answers from plant ID students in quizzes. So it's hugely valuable to us because now you can say, well, I thought it was Calicarpa, but it might have been. And you can click over back and forth and compare those. So that's been a huge gift to us. This is the bottom part, which is just all of the different variables that there's information on for this plant that if you're looking for the details, you can find. Now, what you get when you click on a plant depends on what the plant is. So this is Hall's honeysuckle. If it is a poisonous plant, it comes up with a flag at the top that says this is a poisonous plant, and then further down, it'll give you details about what's poisonous and how that works. If it's an invasive plant, it comes up with a flag at the top that says this is an invasive plant, and it gives you more information at the bottom. But we want people to know right up front, if you're coming to this plant database to choose plants for your yard, warning, and provide that right there. So when we do that, when these flags come up, then also comes up on the side, similar but less problematic plants. So there's recommendations, again, for choosing the right plant for the right place and steering people to go. We also have native alternatives that would meet the same role, niche in the landscape that steers people in that direction. Our brilliant IT people have set it up now so that anytime anyone in the North Carolina Extension system types a botanical name into a portal, it automatically links to our plant database. So the plant name is highlighted. If you go over the plant name and click on it, it pulls up a thumbnail image of the plant and of the beginning of the description of the plant. And if you click on the plant, it takes you to the profile for the Master Gardener, for the Extension Gardener Toolbox. So this is a really powerful tool for anybody in Extension to be able to have instant access to this information, and it's a way powerful tool for us in terms of marketing, right? Because it's driving people from all sorts of places that we might not have thought to even promote our toolbox, and they're finding out about it as a tool and using it. So that's been a wonderful addition. We have lots of partners who are making this possible, and we have they've been rich partners in a variety of ways, not only contributing ideas and content, but actually working on the project too. So we went live on July 1st, and we have a team of Extension Master Gardener volunteers without whom this would not be possible, because you can imagine there's 3,300 plants in the plant database right now, and they have a gazillion data points on each plant. So if you're waiting for me to load all that, like, not in my lifetime. But with this team, they're making it happen. We went live on July 1, and on July 1 is when our team was able to get in there and start adding data. So every single day, it's way better than it was the day before. So come back, and by the end of the year, well, it's already awesome. I was going to say it'll be awesome at the end of the year, but. So I'd be happy to answer any questions for you about our plant database. Julie.
I'm sorry, I apologize. I might have already answered this. How did you vet the plant? What's your criteria to determine what plants
are on? Our sophisticated strategy. The question was, how did we vet the plants to put them in the plant database? And our plant database actually started by taking our plant fact sheets, which were PDF plant fact sheets, profiles of plants, and we took all of those and put them online. So we have not yet developed a sophisticated vetting strategy for plants. You know, when people ask about plants and we don't have a thing up there, we add stuff. But I think, you know, at some point we will get to the point where we have brain space to say, what else do we really need on here? I mean, we've done things like we've said, okay, we're going to expand it to include edibles and go to the fruit and nut specialist at NC State, get his entire list of recommended varieties and cultivars of fruit trees and make sure that those are the ones that are on. And same thing with our berry specialist. So we have the NC State recommended varieties of things. It depends. We have, sometimes it's just to the species. Sometimes we just have a thing that's on a genus and talks about it. And some of them we have, you know, 15 different cultivars, and they each have their own page. So it's growing, and it depends on the interest level. Like, we have a retired professor who's done research on Syrsus, and so we have a vast collection of information on Syrsus. Question is on how much does it cost? The we paid $5,000 for server space. I have no idea what the programmer's cost is, because that was contributed from IT. And I'm sure there's money attached to that. Our out-of-pocket expense for hosting is that $5,000, which I think is 2 years of space. And then we have tons of volunteers. We have money right now from the grant to hire folks to help with data input, but that's a very short-term get it up.
Thank you, Dr. Bachman.